It's the Bob McCowan Podcast, brought to you by Bet Rivers. Download their online casino and sportsbook app today.
It's the Bob McCowan Podcast, and John Shannon is with us as per usual on Monday. And we have one of my favorite people, one of my great friends.
We have a guest too, Bob.
Well, that's the same thing. Keith Pelley will be with us, the new head guy in MLSE. And it'll be really, really interesting to see how involved he gets in all the teams, because that is not really what his job is, I don't think.
But you know Keith. I know Keith.
Very well, yeah.
Keith has never jumped into just the shallow end in his life.
Well, he's a guy who has done things that are different. He has created things. He has done risky things. A $5 billion deal with the NHL was Keith's idea generally, and it was very, very risky, obviously. Mm-hmm. And he did things in golf that were very risky. Night golf, 54-hole tournaments, all kinds of things. And you go back to the Olympics. Remember when we were in Vancouver in 2010? Those Olympics were very different than anybody that came before. And most of it was Pelley, right?
Yes. I tell you what Keith brings to any situation he's in is energy. Quite frankly, as a guy who worked at MLSE, the energy used to ebb and flow. And at times it got very corporate, got too corporate, Bob.
Yep, I agree.
And I hope for the sake of everybody that works there, I hope for the sake of the organization, I hope for the sake of the teams, that Keith's able to use some of that energy that he has to improve the situation for the employees, for the players, for the managers. Because if he does that, then it will become even more successful.
Well, it'll be really interesting to see what he does, because he's a hands-on guy. He's not afraid to make change. He's not afraid to do things that have never been done before. And I'll be really interested to see how involved he becomes in the teams.
Well, let's see. The teams report to him, Bob.
I understand. But historically, very few people have had his job and been really involved with the teams themselves. It's been more of a corporate thing, right?
It is. So there we go. Keith Pelley, Chief Executive Officer of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, after this.
Hi, this is Bob McCowan for BetRivers.com. Hey, if you're looking for a sports book or casino app, you should check out the BetRivers Sports and Casino app today. Play all of your favorite casino games for real money anywhere and anytime. Plus, get in the action with each sports game with hundreds of sports betting options. And get ready to feel like a VIP, because you'll earn both loyalty level points and bonus store points on every real money wager you make. You must be 19 plus, available in Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you have questions or concerns about your gambling or someone close to you, contact Connex Ontario at 1-866-531-2600 or speak to an advisor free of charge. BetRivers.com.
Without further ado, the Chief Executive Officer of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, and I say this quite proudly, Keith, welcome home.
Thanks very much, John. It's great to be home. Great to be back in the city. City's certainly a little bit bigger than I remember, that's for sure, John.
You haven't been away that long.
Yeah. Well, no, 9 years. The population has grown significantly, almost 1 million a year, I think.
9 years since you've been in London? Nine years?
I've been nine years.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. Incredible. Wow. You look good. Hey, Bob.
How are you, Keith?
I'm good, my friend. Those are great glasses.
Thank you.
Yeah. I see you got a little wine there in the background.
Yeah, I do. Well, you know me.
That's right.
Okay.
But I don't drink it.
So now I've heard you describe this job at this point as drinking water through a fire hose. Has the fire hose dissipated at all?
No, it's firmly entrenched. There's no question. No, it just with, with, you know, it's the Leafs, the Raptors, the Marlies. They were playing this week in Belleville, the TFC, 905, the concert business, you know, the World Cup in 2026, restaurants. Yeah, it's a lot of learning, that's for sure. And I'm just at the, you know, I've just learned ever so so little, so much. And then all of a sudden you're in the midst of the NHL playoffs, which is
okay. So
which is a lot of fun, as you know, John.
Stanley Cup. If you're going to be a guy on the inside now, it's Stanley Cup playoffs.
Stanley Cup.
You are the king of branding. You better learn that, man.
Okay. I won't make that mistake again.
Okay. Well, that was Shannon anyway.
No, not at all. Not at all. How are you guys doing?
We're fine, thanks, I think.
Okay, Bob, ask a good question.
Well, I think it's interesting that the job you have, your predecessors were very low profile. Almost had no profile at all. And the perception was that their job was to run the businesses and not the teams per se. Do you feel the same way about the way you'll handle it?
Well, I can't really comment on how Michael and Cynthia ran the business. I know that the business is in very good shape and there's a lot of wonderful people here. And that is something that I've learned very, very quickly. I think that I will be involved in all aspects and all facets of the business. And I think that is something that is important to ownership. I think it's important to the teams themselves, and it's important to me as well. So I've, in a short period of time, I've started to get involved in both learning both on court and off court and on ice and both off ice. And we have some unbelievable people, and it's so far, it's like I said, a learning curve, but it's an incredible privilege to run, you know, an organization that can be so influential in the community in so many different ways. And obviously winning is one of those key ways. And that's certainly the focus on ownership and the focus on tonight in Boston.
Yep. You'll be going back, I'm sure.
I went to the first game. I've chosen not to go back today, only based on the fact that this is the only time that my wife could travel, because she's still living in London right now for the next year and a half while my daughter's in school. So we'll watch from Real Sports, which I've learned we own as well. So I hope to have a pretty good spot in Real Sports, but I think it'll be pretty crowded. But I'm not going to go back to game two, and obviously we'll go back for game five.
I'm curious, Bob talked about what Cynthia and Michael did in their roles. And I've told people, and this is, I think this is a compliment. You are closer in personality and style to Tim Leiwicki than you are anybody else that's been in this job. Any chance you and Tim have spoken about what this job was supposed to be like and what to expect from an interesting board?
Yeah, of course. Tim and I, shortly after it was announced, Tim reached out and we got together in London, actually. And he's done just some, you know, marvelous job with OVG as he's built this company since leaving MLSE. And his daughter Francesca, who is involved in the business, is brilliant. But so I've got a lot of time for Tim in his entrepreneurial skills, and he's actually building the stadium up in Birmingham, and what he's done in Manchester is incredible. So, yeah, we had a long conversation over a couple of glasses of wine, and he gave me some thoughts and some advice, and I listened very, very closely. He's a good colleague and a good one to know in this role.
Well, he you know, his challenge when he came here was to grow the business. I would assume your challenge is comparable.
Yeah, you know, the owners obviously want to grow the business, but growing the business, John, means in all aspects of it, right? That and you know, they also want to win, and So there's a lot of key objectives and key synergies that come when you talk to ownership. When they talk about winning, they talk about growing the business. So that's pretty exciting because I think we can do both. And it was funny this morning. They were talking about the Raptors in 2019, and I wasn't here. And you guys must have been part of that, but it must, you know, the city went crazy. I see. And would love to have that feeling. You know, it was interesting because the other night I explained to somebody, they said, how does this feel? The first playoff Stanley Cup playoff game. And I said, it kind of feels like the first tee of the Ryder Cup in Rome. You know, you're nervous, but you can't control anything. So it's a great feeling. It's game day today, right? So yeah. I haven't had that feeling since, and I only had it at the Ryder Cup for the last 9 years because the tribalism isn't really there in golf outside of the Ryder Cup. And now it's game day almost every day. Like we were watching in Boston. We were watching, you know, we were watching obviously the game, but we had the TFC game on at the same time. So you're watching them play New England and they're winning 1-0. And it's incredible. You know what it's like, guys. You're a business person, but you're a cheerleader at the same time.
Right. You and I have worked together and been together and known each other for many, many years. You first hired me with the Olympics in Vancouver. And then we worked together a bit on you going to the Argonauts and becoming the president of them. And then off at Sportsnet for many years. My perception of you, Keith, is that you are a guy with ideas. And you like to implement maybe new things. Do you have the same perspective of your job now? Do you bring with you ideas that you want to imply?
Well, I would say, and Bob, yeah, it's been a great pleasure to work with you and to watch you over the years. There's, as I've said this, and John knows this, you know, there's nobody in Toronto that has had a bigger impact on the sports community from a broadcast perspective than yourself in this city, legendary. Listen, I'm not going to change that. You know who I am. You know what I'm like.
Yep.
You know, I'm not a Stan Pat type of guy. So yeah, we're looking at all kinds of ideas, and when you're learning the business, which I am right now, and I'm in the midst of having like 4 or 5 hour meetings a day with all of the different teams learning it, you know, there's a plethora of ideas that are in my head. And so the next couple of months is really trying to actually get the fire hose out, learn as much as I can. I wish there was that little chip, which there will be in 20 years, which you can just implant into the brain. And then all of a sudden you have all the knowledge. But right. As soon as, with every single day and, you know, walking through the building or, you know, going to any of the meetings. Yeah. There's so many ideas and so many things that I would love to try, and I'll make a lot of mistakes along the way, but as long as I make more good decisions than bad decisions, then we'll be successful. But the team here is phenomenal. And so I think we can make some changes that will have some major impacts on the city.
How do you build relationships with guys like
World Cup guys? Is World Cup in 2026? I don't think the city or the country knows what they're about to get themselves into.
So what's MLSE's role in the World Cup?
We're the operating partner of the 6 events in Toronto.
Okay.
And I think overall that's what it would be on paper.
Yeah.
What it would be impacting the country. And that's the way I look at it. You know, I met with Peter Montopoli, who's the head of FIFA Canada, last week. And that's what we talked about. You know, when you think about there's 104 World Cup games in 2026. I think that's the number. And as the FIFA president said, I think there's 104 Super Bowls, and we've got six Super Bowls. And this is such a diverse city, it's going to be unbelievable. And we won't do it off the side of our desk. We will be totally focused on it. And when I look at the Ryder Cup and the impact that it had in France in 2018, and then what the Ryder Cup and the impact it had in Rome last September, what the World Cup can have in Toronto and in Canada is whatever your imagination can be. And so, yeah, my mind is racing on all aspects of our business, but certainly I get pretty excited when I talk about the World Cup. I get excited when I talk about the Leafs, when I talk about the Raptors, when I talk about FC. I get excited about the live business. I've been to so many concerts, guys. I went to Bad Bunny. I went to Kane Brown.
There's a mix. Keith Pelly and Bad Bunny. I mean, that is, I mean, come on. That's the way it should be.
I was the only one on the floors in a suit. And I cannot tell you how out of place I looked. Right? So the next day I looked a lot better at Kane Brown. I was wearing a hoodie because I at least went home. I'm staying right around the corner from Scotiabank Arena, so I can get there really, really quickly. So it's but then I went to Andre Bocelli, and then I felt more at home.
Oh, there you go. More at home. You know, it's funny. I always think you are so much younger than me, but maybe you're not.
Did you wind up selling your house, Keith?
No, I didn't. I still have my place in Etobicoke on the Kingsway.
Are you going to move back?
I'm going to live downtown right now. I'm living okay. Downtown, and it's walking distance to the arena. And because I'm going to go back and forth, Bob, from London a little bit in the first year and a half with John. John's going to keep coming back. And Jason's now, he's playing golf in Connecticut. He's got one more year. He's got conference finals this week in Georgia. You know, he can really play, Bob. He's
really?
I think he's plus 3.2. Yeah, he's really good.
Wow.
It's great. He shot 64 last year in a tournament.
No kidding.
We sat down and he said, so Dad, what do you think? I go, what do you think and what? He goes, what do you think I should do this summer? Play competitive? Or I said, well, only if you think you can make it. And he goes, well, what's it take to make it, Dad? And I go, go get yourself a piece of paper and a pen.
Yeah.
He comes back. He goes, okay. I said, okay, I'm going to give you the six things it takes to make it. And you're gonna take 48 hours and then come back and rank them 1 out of 10. He goes, okay, what are they? He goes, okay, one is what's your natural talent? What's your natural ability? And he goes, okay, Rory's a 10 out of 10. Tiger's a 10 out of 10. Two, what's your work ethic? What's your willingness to sacrifice, your ability to give up everything, to go hit 4 irons from 220 at 7 o'clock rather than go for dinner with your girlfriend? He goes, okay. Three, what's your mind? How good is your mind? You know, four, how much passion do you have for the game? Can you imagine not working in anything else other than passion? Five, how happy you are off the golf course. And six, how healthy are you? So he comes back 48 hours later. And I said, okay, so what's your highest ranking? He says, 9. I said, what was 9? And he goes, happiness off the golf course. I said, really? I said, well, that's great. Mom would be happy. I said, how would it have been 10? He said, if I had more of number one, which is talent. And I said, we went through it, Bob and John. And I said, okay, so you're not playing pro. What are you going to do this summer? That was the end of, so these kids are so good. And unless they, it's like everything. It's the kids are so good now at age 10 and 12. You kind of have to decide then at that age if you're going to go for it.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So I'm gonna apply some the same question that you gave your son: ability, work ethic, mind, passion, happy in life, and health.
Glad you remembered those quick. Did you write those down? I didn't see you writing them down.
I wrote them down.
Yeah.
I wrote them down. And so, what's your number one?
Passion would be number one. Work ethic would be number two. You know, happiness off the golf. Jones here. So let me repeat that. Number one is happiness out of the business office. No, I think passion is everything. I think without passion, you got no chance.
I'm with you.
And Bob, John, you know, you guys have passion. John, you've been working, you know, there's nobody that has more passion in the Stanley Cup playoffs than you, right? So, passion would definitely be number one for me.
All right, we're with Keith Pelley. We're going to take a break, Bob. Okay. We got commercials to make. We're with Keith Pelley, the CEO of MLSE, back after this. First question's yours, Bob. Go.
How much do you think you learned while you were in London working the European Golf Tour? A lot?
Yeah. Changed the way I look at everything, changed the way I looked at the world, it changed the way that I operated. I understand the importance of globality. I don't think any sport, whether it be the National Hockey League, the NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball, any American sport, and this is being seen obviously in the PGA Tour, can flourish in the next 10 years without a strong global strategy. The world is massive, and the opportunities that exist now with the world of social, with the world of multiple different platforms and the way that we communicate internationally, that the growth of all the sports is definitely through exposing those beyond North America. So I've we'll definitely have an international strategy at MLSE in terms of, you know, what is our strategy for the Raptors to build an international brand? What is it to build the Leafs as a more international brand than it already is? You know, certainly is something that I look at from a completely different perspective after spending 9 years traveling. I traveled to 42 different countries, and it's, yeah, I would say that I'm a completely, I'm the same person where I'm fun and I want to make a difference and I want to work with great people, but I just have a different perspective of the world now.
Right. Okay.
You have some big personalities in your company. People in theory above you, but I think they're equals. The board members, including Edward and Merkel, yes, and Merkel at Bell, and Larry, who we all know and love. You also have some personalities you're going to work alongside, as I've heard you describe it in a few of the interviews you've done in Masai and Brendan and Bill Manning. How would you manage those personalities? What's that first sit down, have a coffee with Brendan or Masai like?
Well, you know what? They were the first sit down that I had with Brendan was phenomenal because we started talking about old people that we knew in each other's neighborhoods because we grew up 10 minutes apart. So
he didn't start telling you about the Blue Goose, did he?
No, but I know the Blue Goose because the Blue Goose, which is in Mimico where he grew up, is I played recreational hockey in Mimico for 10 years and we'd go to the Blue Goose for a pint after the games. But yeah, like we talked about a guy by the name of Sam Pappas, you know, that we both played against and played with. It was great. We had so many things in common. You know, he's an incredible competitor, like unbelievable. It's not surprising that he was so successful on the ice and how he's transformed the Leafs and they year after year continue to make the playoffs. I think only Boston. I think they're the only two teams that have made the playoffs the last 8 years. Masai. Is a different conversation, but similar in terms of spectacular. He's a different guy than Brendan, but I when you look at Masai and you look at what the impact that he's had on this city, you know, from bringing an NBA All-Star game to signing Drake to building a practice facility that is world-class to creating a 905 franchise, a minor league team, to bringing a championship to the city in 2019. He's, you know, both of them are incredibly bright, incredibly smart, and both very competitive. And Bill is has had so much success at MLS as well, and with TFC, and so they were different. Larry Merkel and Edward are both, again, all very, very successful businessmen, very successful in their personal and professional lives, and they've been consistent with what they want to do, and that is, you know, grow the business and win on the ice, win off the ice, win on the court, off the course, on the field, off the field. So it's been those six guys. Yeah, it's been great. I enjoy people, as you know, and yep. I enjoy the different personalities, and this is going to be fun. I'm going to have a great time. I've had a great time the first 2.5 weeks. So, like I said,
there's going to be a quiz in a week, though.
Yeah, the only thing, John, is it's frustrating not knowing what you don't know.
Right.
So you're trying to catch up. You're trying to read as much as you possibly can. And I would never say this, although she's a couple doors down. It's been a blessing for the first 2.5 weeks just being here,
right?
Without your family, because you can just try to concentrate on learning the business. But it's going to take 3 to 4 months.
You have never been afraid of change. In the Olympics, you made changes. You did so with the golf. You spent $5 billion to get hockey for Sportsnet, for Rogers. So big ideas are not uncommon for you. Do you have any big ideas yet for MLSE?
Well, they've started to shape in my mind, but I haven't articulated them to the board at this particular time. We have our first board meeting at the end of May that I'm going to attend. And I'm going to, obviously give the board some of my early observations, and I'll do so with the board prior to that as well, and the opportunities that exist within the organization. Never afraid of change. Change seems to follow me. And I think the board and everybody here in the organization understand that. And I've said that change isn't easy. Change is hard. But if you're not changing and you're not consistently modifying your business and you're not trying to get better, then you run the risk of falling behind. And so you've got to get better. It's a different world now. You're in a world of AI. You're in a world where the digital revolution continues. So there are many different ways to grow this business. And it really comes down to having a creative culture, allowing your imagination to run wild, and at the same time, not being afraid to talk about those ideas with your teams, with your board. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the exciting part, right? Yeah, I'm going to definitely make changes. People know that, and we're definitely going to have some new ideas, and we're going to try some different things. One of the things that's really interesting is, which I didn't know again, is that the owners have invested a significant amount of capital called the Venue Reimagine project into Scotiabank. And I'm now just getting into it. And that's all about how we can build something incredibly creative for the consumer and do some things that are really different. And that's fun. So yeah, change is fun to me. I think if you embrace it, it's fun.
Yeah. I'm curious, does that mean, and not to put you on the spot, but I will, rethink the WNBA process in this town?
Well, I think the WNBA has been a conversation that has been ongoing with the board and will continue to be ongoing. And I think the growth of women's basketball and the growth of women's sports in general, John, is growing significantly. Mm-hmm. We might have been ahead of our time back in 2001 when we launched WTSN. Remember that? The Women's Sports Network?
You might have been ahead of your time. How about you were ahead of your time?
And then two years later, we shut it down. Right. Remember we hired Sue Prestige?
Sure.
She did a phenomenal job, but
And by the way, the first big thing you did at that network was you did a game with Haley Wickenheiser, who's now one of your assistant general managers. She was playing men's hockey in Finland. It was the first time you made an impact. It was the right thing to do.
Oh, we should have just kept that network going. We should have just.
You're it's unbelievable.
It certainly would work now, wouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
It'd be a lot better, I'll tell you that. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like you take a look at the ratings of the Women's Pro Hockey League. I saw Brian Burke the other night. I guess he's working for the Women's the Professional Hockey League. He's representing the players. And we talked about it. And we looked at that first game that drew 2.4 million in January on TSN. That's incredible. Yeah. That's incredible. And I wasn't here. Did you go to the game, John, here?
No.
But I hear it was phenomenal.
It was. No. They had almost 20,000 in Montreal on Saturday, or a Sunday, rather, for a game there. So it's crazy.
12.2 million on ESPN for the LSU Iowa game.
Yeah.
It's college basketball, the women's college basketball game. 12.2 million.
Before we let you go, we'd be remiss in not asking you you're a good diplomat, so you're not going to answer me here. What you think the state of golf is right now?
Oh, you might say I'm a good diplomat, but I will say that they have to find a way to work together. They have to unify it because the game is not in a great place right now. And it's, and the PGA Tour and I'm consistent. The PGA Tour and LIV and ourselves have to come together. And if they don't, then I think they will eventually regardless, but if they don't in the short term, then I think the game won't progress in the short term. And that would be sad. And so I really hope that they come together. They create what I think is the definitive global tour. Because again, the game is very global and the PIF has a global attention, and they have brought the game globally to a different level. And if the PGA Tour come together with ourselves, or not with the DP World Tour, not with obviously MLSE, with
why not? Yeah, Fenway Sports Group's in the by part of the tour.
They are
part of the tour.
So they are Fenway Sports Group's in there. You're right. And they've also invested in Tomorrow Golf, which is the indoor golf that's coming next year, and they've invested in Rory.
That's the Tiger Rory thing.
Yeah, they've invested in that as well. So at the end of the day, I'll simply say the game needs to come together. Right? If it doesn't, then I think it's the game's not in great shape.
What do you think the problem? Who is the problem? Is it LIV or is it the PGA Tour?
No, I think both parties want to actually come together now, Bob.
Do they?
Definitely. Yeah, I think it's really going to come down to the PGA Tour top players understanding that they need to actually come together with the PIF. So I think that's where I think if there has been a stumbling block, it's been the very top players on the PGA Tour that perhaps didn't understand exactly what we were trying to do in June. Yes, and Jay has admitted that perhaps it wasn't announced in the best way, and it never was a merger. It was really to come together. They're starting to realize that that is the best way forward, and so I think it really comes down to the top players on the PGA Tour wanting to do a deal and wanting to do a deal quickly with the PIF.
There was a lot of animosity between the two sides at the beginning when LIV was first invented. Does that animosity still exist, do you think?
No, I don't think it does. It doesn't with PIF and in terms of the PIF, which is the Sovereign Wealth Fund, and with Yasser, who is the chair of the PIF, and with Jay Monahan, who is the commissioner of the PGA Tour. It does not exist. Right. So I think there's a way forward. We just, you know, everybody has to get in a room and figure it out. And it really comes down to both sides compromising, and it really comes down to having a global approach.
I'll tell you what, Keith,
I can tell you right now, there is nobody with more integrity. There is nobody with more passion and committed to doing this than Jay Monahan. And his resilience is phenomenal.
Really? Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what, you got a bit of resilience yourself, sir. So you should you should be proud of that. You said about 10 minutes ago, change always seems to follow me. Sir, I would suggest it might be the other way around.
There you go, John. We'll wait and see. It's a pleasure to talk to you guys. Good to see you guys. All right.
Thanks, Bob, good to see you, my friend. Good to see you, pal. We'll talk soon, I hope.
You got it. I'll give you a shout. Cheers.
The Chief Executive Officer of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, Keith Pelley, back after this. Well, did you learn anything from your pal, Pelley?
No, nothing.
Nothing?
He's exactly the same as he always has been.
That's the amazing. And by the way, you know, Keith's in his 60s. He looks like he's about 35.
He looks the same as he did 20 years ago.
I know. It drives me crazy.
Well, don't we all look the same as we used to?
Yeah. Yeah, right. Some of us are just a little grayer.
Yeah, that's all. That's all.
I'll tell you what, though. It's, you know, his line about change was a fascinating one, because creativity and change go hand in hand, don't they? And he's always been a creative person, so you know that there will be change. And there, by the way, in a place as big as that, because I would assume, I think they have about 800, 850 employees at MLSE. That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, he's in for him to do the job the way he wants to do. It's almost like being the prime minister or the president, because people are going to want to touch him, and people are going to want to, and he's going to have to manage his time so much differently than he does in other places.
Well, that's always been the case with Keith. I think he's always had a lot of people who want to talk to him, want to see him. And he knows how to manage his time.
Yeah, he does. But I'll tell you, by the way, just to finish the golf thing today, your pal Scottie Scheffler won again yesterday, or this morning, actually.
Big surprise, right?
Do you know how much money he's made in the last 42 days?
Tell me.
$16 million.
Too bad. Poor baby.
$16 million in 2 days. Well, and I'll tell you what, we'll make it simple. We won't even talk about hockey today, Bob. We won't talk about the playoffs.
Good for you.
But I'll tell you what, the Winnipeg Jets made hockey exciting yesterday.
I'm only concerned about your Toronto Maple Leafs, who you pick to win.
By the way, did you notice I did not tell Keith that you didn't pick them to win? I didn't want to embarrass you in front of the CEO.
Well, I don't care what he thinks. I think he probably would say the same thing if he was honest.
He better not now.
If he was honest.
All right. Well, we'll see you tomorrow, Bob.
Gotta go. See you, John.
Thanks for listening and watching the McCowan Podcast.
It's the Bob McCowan Podcast, brought to you by Bet Rivers. Download their online casino and sportsbook app today.